Good evening, everybody. Good evening. If we could get everybody to, gosh, I know it's really super tight. Wow, what a great crowd. Give yourselves a hand for being so engaged, please. We appreciate everybody getting settled, trying to make yourselves as comfortable as possible. I can assure you, this is going to move very, very quickly. So before we begin, I'll introduce myself. My name is Clint Schroeder. I'm the president and executive publisher for the Hagedon Communications Division. I work very closely with Carolyn and the folks here at the B. It's not. How about that? Oh, it's okay for all the candidates. It's going to have to be awfully close. All right. My name is Clint Schroeder. I am the president, executive publisher for the Hagedon Corporation's Communication Division. I am very fortunate. I get to work with a lot of really great editorial teams. I'd like to thank Carolyn Lobsinger and her team. Please give her a big round of applause. They work so hard to do everything we can do. Local politics is so important. We have some really dynamic people here tonight that we'll hear from, but you're going to hear from them only very briefly. The objective of tonight's event is really quite simple. They will have 1 minute to introduce themselves. They will have 1 minute to answer the questions because we're moving through a lot of races in a very short amount of time. And they'll have 1 minute to close up and say anything that maybe they were hoping I would ask that I didn't ask. And we will then change race. I'll remind the candidates one more time. When your race is called, if you would just come up this side right here and fill in the seats at the table. And when we conclude, if you would please help the next group up, take their seats as quickly as possible. That will help us move through this very, very quickly. Tonight's event is also being broadcast on our community radio station, KRFY. We are very happy to have them tonight partnering with us, so please give them a big round of applause as well. Tonight's event gives us an opportunity to connect with these candidates in a little bit different way. It's nice that we can do these kinds of things in person on occasion. It surely beats the alternative. We will this evening begin with West Bonner County School District and the zones there. So if I could get those candidates to come up, that would be fantastic.
Unfortunately, the West Bonner County School District, unfortunately for us, is having a school board election right now. So many of the candidates are not able to attend in person, but they did send statements to be read on their behalf. So for Zone 1, it's Margaret Hall, incumbent, running against Alan Galloway. Mr. Galloway did not send in a statement or in a survey, so unfortunately I can't read anything for him. For Margaret Hall, I am Margaret Hall, trustee candidate for West Bonner County School District Zone 1. I'm running for re-election because a number of my constituents encouraged me to do so. I believe that people receive me as level-headed, thoughtful voice, that also strongly advocates for public education on behalf of the district students, parents, staff, taxpayers, and community at large, and that I will respect, protect, and balance the rights of all students and parents. Further, I believe that the community recognizes that I work diligently to understand an issue before making the decision and am committed to listening carefully and respectfully before addressing the different concerns expressed. I will work tirelessly to find solutions to the district's internal and external challenges, including the extreme community polarization, critical financial issues, staff retention, student performances, and attendance. In terms of community division, healing this will be difficult, but it is critical. We have to work together to create a West Bonner County School District that prepares our students' children for the challenges and opportunities of the future. If reelected, I'm committed to doing the best job I can to stabilize and find possible solutions for our district. Thank you. For Zone 3, Elizabeth Glazier sent in the following statement. I'm Elizabeth Glazier. I'm running for this position with the school district because as a mom of two young students in this district, I feel I have a vested interest in not only the well-being of my children, but of all students, staff, and teachers at West Bonner County. I am a very active community member and have experience in volunteering in the schools. Before becoming a financial advisor, my background was primarily in inventory management. Therefore, I'm extremely comfortable with numbers, budgets, and creating patterns while using benchmarks to compare current performance. at a time when we were struggling with finances, budgeting, communication, and transparency, I think I would be a game-changing addition to the school board. As a board trustee, I will rely heavily on my knowledge of budgeting, cost-saving strategies, performance benchmarking, and working with people to help us achieve excellence for all students, teachers, and community members. Anger is not a solution. Finger-pointing is not a solution. We need to focus on moving forward. Like the day works to become the night, and the night works to become the day, we need to move forward with conviction and fortitude, and we can. Especially with the right people behind the wheel, I feel confident in my abilities and know that I would be an undeniably beneficial board member. I'm dedicated, hardworking, consistent, and luckily self-employed. This allows me the time to be, that's required to get our district up and running. I will be highly engaged with constituents. Thank you for your time, and please consider me a competitive and viable option for your vote. Troy Reinbold in Zone 3 did not submit a survey or respond to a request to submit a statement. In Zone 5, incumbent Carlin Barton sent the following statement. I want fiscal responsibility, will to include continuing the audit phases. I want to create a positive building and district culture. This will include visiting the principal administration and working as a whole district on a plan of action. I will promote anti-bullying education. My hope is to incorporate this step into the culture shift plan. I want to retain teachers with a whole district culture shift in addition to the four-day school work week. By retaining and completing professional development, our teachers will be able to increase our students' academic scores. And no matter what else takes place, I'll make the students the center of my decision. It's my job to listen and follow directions. I respond to emails from the community members, students, and employees of the district as soon as possible. It's important that we unify so we can focus on the health of our district. First, we need to complete the audit and become financially transparent. Second, we need to rectify West Bonner operational deficiencies and comply with the Idaho State Board of Education. Third, we need to bring integrity back to our school board. When we complete these three most significant steps, we'll be able to start mending the division in our district. And we have representing Kathy Nash, who is not able to be with us today, her campaign manager, Jim Kelly.
Thank you very much. My name is Jim Kelly. I'm the campaign manager for Kathy Nash, running for West Barnett County School District, trustee Zone 5. Kathy cannot be here tonight because her husband, Jeff, of 36 years, died suddenly and unexpectedly last Wednesday night after a campaign event at the Blanchard Community Center. He suffered a massive heart attack. So I gave Kathy the option of dropping out of the race or continuing. Kathy has chosen to continue, saying that if she's elected, she will serve with great dedication. Following is a list of Kathy's platform. Kathy has been attending school board meetings and reviewing budget issues for the past 5 years. Her research has uncovered sloppy budget practices that are not only concerning, they are downright shocking. With her career as an accountant, Kathy will scrutinize the school district budget to ensure efficiency in spending taxpayer funds. Kathy will oppose policies and budget expenditures that are detrimental to our students and the taxpayers of a district. Kathy will only support school levies upon the completion of a forensic audit, which will show exactly how much money is needed, where that money should be spent, and how it will benefit the children of our district. Thank you, and please vote for Kathy Nash, West Barnett County School District, Zone 5.
Thank you, Jim, very much. Carolyn, thank you very much for gathering those statements, and Jim, thank you for reading. I find it really respectable. Tonight's special meeting at the school district, of course, is a very important event, a lot of things going on. I appreciate very much that those candidates that did submit their comments did so, and it was with grace. So please give them a big round of applause. If I could get Jen McKnight and Scott Wood to please join me here, we will transition now to Lake Pendere School District Zone 1. Really quickly, while they're coming up here, the candidates have already been briefed, but I would like to let the audience know that this is meant to be a very respectful exchange. If the candidates find that there is something factually they'd like to correct, we've asked that they do that in their closing statement. This is a very important time for all of these positions in all of these races. I would also ask that we try to keep the applause or the hoots and cheers down as much as we possibly can, and please be as respectful as possible as an audience. All right, first, I'm going to allow Jen to introduce herself.
Hi. Is this on? Okay. Hi, my name is Jen McKnight. I'm a Christian. I'm a wife and mother. My kids went to public school here. I go to school board meetings. I read policy. I know what's going on at these meetings. I'm pro-family. I'm pro-citizen. What I won't do is try to put out a $90 million levy district-wide. I'm pro-building maintenance. I will not vote to raise your taxes. You already pay a recurring waterfall levy. We need to work within our ample budget. What I won't do is cause you to have to leave the area because of tax hikes from overspending. What I will do is promote stronger academics, math, reading, writing, history, science. It is the duty of the public school to offer a strong academic foundation.
Hello, I'm Scott Wood, fourth generation resident of Bonner County. My family moved here 80 years ago in 1942. Generations of my family have gone through this school district, and I feel like that we've all turned out pretty okay. I don't want to make sweeping changes to the school district or the board. I feel that the district is going the right direction. I don't feel like there needs to be significant policy changes. And yes, we do need to fix up the schools. The schools are deteriorating. I personally believe it contributes to some of the education of the kids too, just due to the poor environment that they're in. And I am married, met my wife in town here at Washington Elementary in the first grade. We have we have two 13-year-old sons currently at the middle school right now. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Just so the audience and the candidates know, for the questions, we'll try to alternate answers, give everybody a fair chance to answer first and to answer last. So, Scott, you will be first to answer question one, and the question is, how would you balance conflicting parental input, state guidelines, and district policy in terms of curriculum and activities?
Curriculum obviously comes first, but student activities are... I mean, for some kids is just as important, I believe. I don't believe that every kid out there is book smart and can sit there all day and go through class. I believe they need extra things to keep themselves busy. Kids have got to stay busy. It's what keeps them out of trouble. That's the main thing. Some kids are just better with, building something, doing something with their hands rather than just sitting there staring at a book. I'm all for reading and writing and arithmetic. Don't get me wrong. That's great. Everybody needs that. But myself, if I can put my hands on something and put something together and take it apart, I can learn a lot more that way.
Could you repeat it? Well, I am pro-family, so I would support the family. If it conflicts, then it needs to go to the family. And I think that we see this a lot with some of the social-emotional stuff. So I think that if we stick more to academics, we'll be a lot better off. I think everybody can agree on those, and we'd like to see a stronger academic program. And, so if it conflicts, it really just needs to fall to the parents. We shouldn't be going, and especially the school board, our job is to side with the citizen. We're the citizen's voice. We are not supposed to just be backing the school. So I would not side with the school. I would side with the family.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, Jen, you'll answer this next question first. What do you feel is the role of the school board in shaping education in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District?
The role of the school board in shaping education? It's really, we need to be listening to the citizen. So what the citizen wants, and I've been out there and I've been hearing what the citizens want. They want the value stuff left to families, and they want better academics. So the job of the board is to do what the citizens want, and I go to these school board meetings and I read through policy, and there are areas that need improvement. There are areas where families aren't as respected as they should be. There are some parental rights issues, and it's going to be a lot of work. It's a lot of digging, and it takes some time, but it's important to for the citizens to be engaged in what's happening at the schools.
All right. Scott, you're up.
I do believe that the school board needs to be able to listen to the community as well. The difference between Jen and I is most of the community that I talk to and the community that I'm from, they want to see some buildings fixed. They want to see more technical education classes in the schools. I come from a different side, and that's we've been around here a long time, and like I say, my family has been through the three generations of my family, including myself, my wife, and both my boys there have been through the middle school, and nothing has changed. I went through the Northside school here the other day, and I went to kindergarten at Northside, and I can tell you that it was like going back to when I was this tall. Nothing has changed. So the school board not only is in charge of education and keeping that going, but they need to be looking out for the facilities that all these kids, and especially the teachers too, are working in. Okay. Well, by now you know what I stand for. I am not a politician. I've just been... I've had a good growing, a good upbringing. I'm not a very good public speaker, obviously, but trying to do my best and trying to give back to the community. The community did me good, and I would like to see that in return. Thank you.
So as far as the buildings, we really do need to maintenance them. We need to maintenance them within budget. We already have a waterfall levy, and we already have plans to maintenance them. As far as new buildings, we're talking about a $90 million levy possibly to fix up, I think, three of the schools. And for Zone 1, only one of their schools. So and if that gets voted in, that's district-wide. And it's possibly around $7,000-$8,000per if you have $500,000 assessed property value. I'm for citizens, family, stronger academics, and staying in budget. Jen McKnight, LPOSD, Zone 1.
Thank you both very much for your time and sharing with us this evening. Next up, go ahead, please. Next up, we'll hear from the candidates for Dover City Council. Let's give those candidates a moment to come up to the front. And Carolyn, if you could help me, I'd appreciate it. If I could get, let's see. Why don't we have Keith sit here first, then Dan. Oh, let's see, they're gone. So we just have Keith, right? Excellent. So, sit anywhere you'd like. Yeah. All right. Again, thank you very much, candidates for our first race, Lake Ponderay. We have tonight with us one of our candidates, Keith Conkleton. And I need to mention that Dan Parkin and Stephen Hayes are traveling. They expressed their regrets, and they'll be unable, of course, to attend and give you their feedback tonight. Information on Mr. Haynes can be found online at the Daily Bee's Voter Guide, and Mr. Parkin provided a statement. He said, I'd like to pass on that my intentions are to be reelected to the Dover City Council, and my record speaks for itself. So tonight, welcome again, Keith Conkleton. Please give him a round of applause. Keith, you have 1 minute for your introduction.
Thank you. As you said, my name is Keith Congleton, and I have been a resident of Dover for almost 29 years now. It'll be 29 years in January. My reason for running for city council is twofold. First of all, I think that all residents of Dover need representation. That includes the areas north of Highway 2, be Syringa Heights, Cedar Ridge, Canoe Cove, West Pine Street, as well as the other areas like historic Dover and Dover Bay. Secondly, I've seen a lot of growth in the 29 years that I've lived there. And growth is inevitable, can't be stopped, but it needs to be managed. And I think that with proper management, that this growth can actually be good and can be an economic driver for the city and for the region as a whole, too. Dover not only has residents there, but we have a lot of recreational opportunities that is taken advantage of by all the other residents of this area, too. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's a good question. I think Dover, all the new development in Dover has been on, of course, the high side of the economic spectrum. We have houses that range in the new development for anywhere from $600,000 to $700,000 to several million dollars. And I'm not really sure if there is any opportunity to build a lower cost housing in Dover. If there was, I think it would be a good thing to do. But I just don't see that happening. That's a little easier question, I think. We need to listen to everybody. Everybody has input. Everybody's input is valuable. And I think that collaboration is the way to go. And in the past, I know in the city of Dover, there seems to have been a lot of animosity between the Dover Bay community, the historic Dover community, and the community where I am north of Highway 2. I think we need to all get together and find out what our common goals are rather than our differences and focus on that and just be all inclusive. Well, I think the city of Dover is going to continue to grow residentially. There are more areas that can be developed and probably will be developed. I also know that there is ample opportunity for the city of Dover to grow as far as its recreational opportunities. I was just talking to George Eskridge, the mayor. We have a application by a company that wants to very generously provide an additional 100 acres of land for public use, hiking trails and cycling trails. So that, I think, is really not only generous, but valuable to the community as a whole, not just Dover. I know I do a lot of walking in Dover. It's one of the my favorite routes that I do down in the Dover Bay with the trails that they have there. And I meet a lot of people every day that are not only from Dover, but from other areas around here. And everybody really seems to appreciate the recreational opportunities that we have. Okay. Well, unfortunately, my opponents were not here, so we can't hear what they have to say, but I'm hoping that I've convinced you that I have the best interests of the city in mind. A little bit about my background. I am retired from a career in banking, finance, and construction. I spent 25 years as a mortgage banker. I spent the last 10 years as a business manager for a construction company right here in town. So I think that these things will give me the experience that I can help Dover go in the right direction. I also believe very heartily in fiscal responsibility and being good stewards of the taxpayer money. My background in accounting and finance, I think, will be helpful in budgeting and making sure that that happens. Thank you.
Next up, this is where it gets fun, the Sandpoint City Council. If I could get the six candidates to please join me here in the front,
And if I could please have Amelia Boyd next to me, Pam Duquette, then Deb Rule, Kyle Schreiber, Grant Simmons, and L. Susness on the very end. That'll help us move this right along. All right. Again, we will work this alternately, so we will start with Amelia Boyd, and as we go down each question, you'll begin as just the next in line. This is perfect. All right. So, with that said, 1 minute introduction.
Hi, my name's Amelia Boyd. I'm a mother and a wife of almost 34 years. Been with my husband for 37. I have two grown boys. I'm running for city council because I am currently on planning and zoning. I serve on several boards here in town. I am a volunteer. I'm a citizen that cares. I'm a resident that is involved, and I have the knowledge. And there's issues that I think that I can navigate through with my experience on planning and zoning. I know how to the code changes work that need to be done so we keep our downtown corridor historical, small, and the same of as what we have come accustomed to. I also believe in infrastructure is our strongest and biggest priority with what we have that is failing and currently needs to be updated. And the communication piece, I'm a great communicator. I feel that I can do that, and thank you.
Okay, my name is Pam Duquette. I'm a 40-year resident of Bonner County. I'm fortunate enough to own a home in Sandpoint. I've raised two children here. I have a posse of grandchildren also being raised here. I went back to school as an adult to get education degrees at the University of Idaho in Coeur d'Alene. I am recently retired, and I filled my time up fairly well, volunteering. I'm a conservationist. I am with a lot of conservation groups. I care about the environment. I care about growth with the environment in mind. We live here because of the wonderful air quality, water quality, forests. I want to see those maintain as we grow. I know that we're suffering growing pains. People say if you want to make a difference, run for office. This was nonpartisan. I thought it was a good one for me to tackle. I love the community. Know a lot of people. Worked at Schweitzer for 20 years. And my time is up.
Good evening. Got it really close. Okay. Good evening. My name is Deb Rule, and I have faithfully served you for 12 years, Planning Commission and City Council. I have a lot of significant institutional knowledge dealing with sewer treatment, dealing with the infrastructure. I have a lot of ideas about how to keep our downtown looking the way it needs to look, changing some of those building code heights so that we can keep things in line with the way they are. I raised two boys here, born in Bonner General Hospital. I've lived in Sandpoint for over 20 years, and I think a lot of you already know me, so I'm going to give the mic to Kyle, because I bet I'm real close to a minute.
Hi, Kyle Schreiber. Thanks to KRFY and Hagedone for putting this on. A little bit about me. I have a degree in business and finance, but my career has been in marketing, and when I tell people that, they usually think advertising, like convincing people to buy something, but really what it means is going out and finding what your customers' problems are and then making a plan on how to solve that for them. And that's really the approach that I want to take to local government, is not here's this fancy thing that we built and let's convince people to like it, but let's go out in the community and figure out where the problems exist and then actually make a plan to take action on those. You know, I was born and raised in the West, and I've lived in several mountain towns like ours, and I've seen the same issues that we're facing ruin towns like ours. And so that's why I'm running for city council, is because I feel we need to take action right now to keep Sandpoint the great place that we love. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Grant Simmons, and thanks again for the beef for doing this, and thanks to the candidates. I've gotten to meet some of you guys during this, and glad to say it's been a really fun adventure. I'm Grant Simmons. I'm running for Sandpoint because I absolutely love this town. It has been my dream maker. This town has given me everything. It's given me my family, my three kids. I've got a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, all in the school system right now. It's given me my career. It's given me multiple careers. It's allowed me to build a multi-million dollar business here. And I want to safeguard that for the next guy. That's it. That's why I'm running. Those are my incentives. I think about the young, hungry, professional talent that we can attract to this town. I think about just the spirit and the resilience we have in North Idaho, and I think that I can help capture that. I can help deliberate that through through a community. Everybody's doing this to me. Everybody. I got to be on this thing. We're sharing germs up here at this point. So anyway, yeah, Grant Simmons, please advocate for this town, and thank you.
Okay. Hello, I'm Ellie Cessnes. I'm a 48-year, how's that? Is that good? 48-year Bonner County resident and a 38-year City of Sandpoint resident. I raised my son here as a single mom for many years, and he's in at U of I as a sophomore. The platform I'm running on is historical preservation, starting with the downtown core. The historic district designation that we have today is a name only. It offers no protection for our historic buildings. The code that was adopted for the commercial A zone in the early 2000s is 65 feet high with mixed use. Yeah, as a comparison, the Umpqua building is 60 feet and Seasons is 64 and a half feet. Under current code, the owners could demolish the whole Zero Point block and put up a mixed use building at 65 feet. And the city couldn't stop it. Is that what we want? I volunteer on the Arts, Culture, and Historic Preservation Commission at the city, and we've been working on building blocks towards preservation and reasonable development. We need help. This is our next fight, you guys. If we lose downtown, what community character do we have left?
Ellie, if you would stay standing. You're first on this next question, so I thought I'd come to you. Okay, what are your thoughts about the downtown waterfront design competition, and what, if any, changes would you make?
Well, I'm a fan of the waterfront competition, and I will tell you why. It piggybacks off of what I just said. So, remembering that these are designers and this is a competition, there's a lot of fluff. But if you look at this like the Sears catalog, where, okay, we're never going to get an ice rink, but it's a nice dream, right? If we want to update the boat ramp, okay, we can save our money and get that in a couple years. But what does Mama need right now? She needs historic preservation. And if you look in that plan, on the third phase, there's a lot of information in there that shows you exactly what will happen with those different heights and infills and design guidelines. So I'd really like everyone to look at the plan with an open mind and look at those specific areas. We don't have to do everything at once. We don't even have to do half of it at once. We need to do the things that are timely and our problem solving for what we have today.
Thanks. Same question, I assume. And it comes back down this way. Oh. I'll stand up again. Yeah, so I'll say some of the sort of the same things about the design competition. I like the idea of experts coming in and providing ideas, and that's largely what's happened. When it comes to the usage of that park, and I'll say this for parks in general, I'm generally a fan of whatever puts them to recreational use for a greater population of folks year-round. And so there's a lot of great ideas in there, and like Elliot said, I would say please take a look at it. There's some real nuggets in there. Most of it probably won't happen, and it won't happen soon, but I ask that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on this.
Hi, yeah, so I do agree with the historical preservation and the height limits on First Ave and all of downtown, but the problem with the downtown waterfront design competition is that it's delaying all of those necessary code changes. We're spending a lot of money on expensive consultants from out of town to draw these fluffy pictures, when what we really need to be doing is focusing on those code amendments and those historical preservation items first.
So I have sat on council long enough to know that we sometimes have used consultants to come in and you get one single plan, and that single plan isn't really what you want. So I think there's a lot of misconception about what this plan is and is not. Just because you've read what's out there, I don't agree with the 55-foot height limit for downtown. There's a lot of things. There's going to be a lot more town hall meetings. And it's all of these teams were designed in such a way that they had to have local members on them to give them perspective. I think when all three of these came forward, I was horrified. I think the one that we chose is still very flamboyant. I think we need to stick to the basics of the infrastructure, but there are some wonderful details in the depths of this. View shed protection, massing of buildings, keeping buildings to look in the same feel and structure as the downtown ones. Not perfectly recreations of history, but things that match within that time frame. So I have lots more to say on that, but my time is up.
Okay, the beach is now our largest green space. We lost our first largest green space at Travers. I hate to see that happen to City Beach. We love our City Beach. It has to have some help, but it does not need to be redone, in my opinion. I want the community involved in this one. I do not want plans made until everybody has had a chance to really, really engage and see it. Because once we've destroyed that, it's gone. There are some good ideas, but yeah. I also think it kind of stepped on a plan we already had. We were going to move the boat launch, the boat ramp. People don't like where it is. It hasn't been moved in this new plan. I don't know what happened to the other plan we had. I do like a kayak, easy load for non-motorized boats. That's a good thing. Again, everybody needs to be a part of this. It is our city beach.
So yes to what everybody said. I don't want to repeat everything. This plan I've read through twice, and I watched it on video as well. There's a lot of detail in there. There's a lot of great things, and there's a lot of not so great things. So yes, I encourage everybody, actually I implore everybody to educate yourself on this plan because there's a lot of input needed from the citizens. If you're not informed, we don't know. Though there are great things, the historical district, expanding that, yes, we need to do that right now. It's a smaller area. The water preservation, stormwater work that they're doing with the native plants, incredible, incredible ideas there. The boat launch, yes, that needs to be moved, and it is actually moved. It's not in the same exact spot, but it is adjusted for those reasons. Because of the plan that we have now, it's not working, and that's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Thank you very much. All right. We're going to try to get back on track here. I'll start right here, but we'll have the second question now. 1 minute each candidate. How would you define progress for the city of Sandpoint?
Good question. How would I define progress? I'm moving ahead, but moving ahead at a pace we can keep up with. We need infrastructure, like people have said. We need our roads taken care of before we do any fancy designs. Our sidewalks, our bike paths. I would like to see progress in more walking and biking downtown, less traffic, less big trucks in town. Progress to me is moving forward with the community behind what is it that we want for progress. We can't stay as we are. It's not going to happen. Growth is happening. Growth can be okay if we manage it well and work with it.
My plan for progress is to reinvigorate a lot of the citizens' committee, have a lot more outreach, have really involved committee members to do that. Progress is not moving too fast. I'm totally on board for that. Again, I'd like to say about that plan specifically that it tries to control your trucks. It tries to do a lot of those things, but the misconception about that piece of the plan is that it's already a plan and it's set in place. There are going to be multiple town hall meetings. There's going to be multiple conversations on this. This is not a plan that's not going to happen, any piece or small part of it, until the community decides what this plan truly is. This is just a guide for you guys to have somewhere to start and to tell us, as your representatives, what pieces you like and what pieces need to go into the trash. I don't make these decisions. You guys do. So whoever comes to me, those are how the decisions are made. When we hear from you, we base our decisions upon that.
Yeah, we have a lot of problems that need to be addressed, and I think progress is going to look like addressing them. So we have our roads are below national standards, our wastewater treatment plant is well overdue for replacement, and that can has been kicked down the road. And you have to think that if we would have addressed those 5 years ago, maybe we could have spent less and financed at a lower rate. So that equates to tens of thousands of dollars for every household in this town. And, you know, I do think that we need to get back to the citizen committees and hearing people's voices, because the council meetings that I've attended, I've heard a lot of people speak, and I didn't feel like their voices were heard. The last thing that I think is absolutely critical is affordable housing, and I have a lot of ideas about how we can address that.
Thanks. Yeah, the progress looks like deliberate growth management through city administration. And boy, is that a boring sentence. But it's really about taking the business that's in front of you and making sure that the community knows about it through as many opportunities as possible. And obviously, you know, I think we can all agree that over the past few months that has fallen down. And it's probably fallen down over the past few years once we know about what folks actually know about the different park systems and things like that. What I would say in terms of what's the most immediate right now and what would look like progress right now would be for everybody to go look at the comp plan, which is not yet ratified. But that sets like the 20-year vision. And so that is in the offing right now. And so I recommend everybody go out to the city website. And I've been on planning zoning for a couple years. Help put on, not the great broad strokes, but at least some of the finishing touches. And when I think about, you know, a guy and a family with three kids who like to commute around town, lots of that's baked in there. And so it's reflected. And so, again, I recommend everybody take a look, please. Thanks.
Well, my lottery numbers didn't pan out, so I can't buy the town and keep everything the way it is. Some other people have some say in it. But progress looks to me like a community that is working together to make these decisions. We may not have had that very much in the past couple years. I agree with Grant as far as the comprehensive plan. That is the plan that we need to look at, and you know, you guys have to help us, whoever ends up being on council, make this happen and go from there. We are in this together.
So progress has been moving very fast here in Sandpoint over the last few years, and I believe progress needs to be grasped by the entire community. As Grant and I are on planning and zoning together, and that progress has been slow as far as developing this comp plan that we have painstakingly gone through for months and months and turned into years, that nobody has gone to our planning and zoning meetings to give us input. So again, I implore you, please, please inform yourselves of what's going on. This document is extremely important. So I see progress as more community involvement, more community action. Yes, we do need those committees back. We need to have the voices in our community talking what is important to them, the changes that they'd like to see or do not like to see. We need to listen to all of that. In order to do that, we have to be available. And if you're available, which I do plan on being, let me know.
All right. I have to compliment you guys are doing a great job. This is very hard to stay in on 1 minute. So, all right. Deb, you will start next. And the question is, how would you improve meaningful citizen involvement in city government to ensure that all sides feel heard?
Improve. Well, I think I already answered that question previously within what we need is we need the citizens involved on the front end. Get involved. Get the emails, notifications sent to you. Pay attention to city council meetings. We have been working on those comp plan things. I've sat on council for 12 years, and I've passed multiple budgets with not a single person from the public there. So I know this. I'll take responsibility, and I'll say this is all my fault for not engaging enough, but I need somebody to talk to on the other side. I've had multiple meetings with people who are upset about Traverse Park. I sent out emails. Anybody who wanted to meet me in person could respond to those emails. If they sent me an email, I responded back to them. And that's a form of communication, one-on-one, eye-to-eye, and not playing on social media. We need to come to the middle ground and talk about what we have in common together and move forward.
Yeah, so I definitely think that we need to bring the citizen committees back. I think that, you know, they are written into our code and we are breaking our own laws by not having them. And I think that a lot of our current problems would have been addressed if we had citizen committees overseeing a lot of the changes that have been happening in the last couple of years and are going to be happening in the next couple of years. You know, I think that it would be great if everyone could put aside their life and come to every council meeting and learn everything about the budget or the comp plan, but that's why we have elected officials, and it's our responsibility to reach out to the public, not wait for them to come to us.
Yeah, it's a good question. It all comes down to citizen engagement, doesn't it, really? I think there's some opportunities for off weeks to, in not in violation of open meeting laws, but to have sort of think of an open hours where we have public forum on the off weeks of city council. We might not need everybody there, but we can certainly get some folks there, and we can have a standing meeting for a public forum on off weeks. I think that sounds pretty reasonable. There's plenty of public spaces in which we can have other meetings like that as well. There's also plenty of mail that goes out from the city that can have notices and things like that on it as well. Door hangers, it doesn't need to be every door, but it should be a sample of all the neighborhoods. And finally, I'm a huge fan of neighborhood committees. And if we think about the neighborhoods in Sandpoint, there's no two that are exactly alike. And they're all a little different, and they all need their own representation. And so if we think about like a neighborhood type committee type representation, I think that would do a lot of good.
Thanks, Grant. Actually, I like the idea of neighborhood committees, too. And, of course, I'm a big fan of commissions. I've been a volunteer commissioner for 9 years, so I'm here to do the work, and I know that there's a lot of people that are willing to do the work. We just need to bring them into the fold. Also, I think that getting ahead of the agenda and putting out an email and discussing issues from the city might be another way to get people activated to want to come to meetings, because a lot of times we don't know until the very last minute what's going on. So if we can get that information out to the community, I think that would be a good solution.
So I plan, if elected, to, I'm available all the time. I don't work outside the home or inside the home. I know I said that joke last time. My husband's not here to corroborate that, but he would say that's true. But I plan to be around and available. I, akin to office hours that professors made available when I was in university, I plan to do that. I will be available if you want to meet with me certain days, certain times, multiple times a week. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to go to you. If you can't get out of your house and you'd like me to explain something, I can do that. I also do plan to do a newsletter and hopefully get a lot of emails and just say, hey, this is what we're working on. This is what's coming up, because a lot of people aren't online and do not get the emails from this city. The agendas are available to citizens most likely pretty much spot on by Fridays before the Wednesday council meetings. So, but I will make sure that everybody gets that information.
Okay, this is a big reason why I am running for, I was going to say student council because I was a teacher, city council. I have gotten two emails in the last 2 weeks about leaf pickup. I have never gotten an email from the city for anything else. I signed up for e-notifications on the web. I get those. Unless I don't, I call and say, where are they? Two times in 2 weeks to tell me they're going to pick up my leaves. That is not so hard to do, obviously. Yeah, mail. I volunteer for KRFY. We put posts on all the bulletin boards. A little bit of extra legwork. We can do this. I want to tell you that on November 29th, on the agenda, there is a comp plan meeting. One time, one day, that's not going to do it for everybody. We need to offer more of those. I have tried to get answers from the city council many times. I can probably count on this hand how many answers I've got response. And I applied for the tree committee and never got a response. So I'm big on this one. I will communicate.
Fine job. Communicating. Okay, we have now our closing statements. And Kyle, you'll begin.
Yeah, so I bring a unique perspective because I have been that local worker who lost their housing for short-term rental. I've lived in employer-owned housing, and I bring a perspective that I think is underrepresented in our city government. So, I want to represent you, and so please reach out to me at kyle4sandpoint@gmail.com or visit my website, kyleforsandpoint.com, and consider voting for me on November 7th. Thank you.
Are we just going down the line? Did I preemptively stand up? Thank you. So again, thank you for this opportunity. Why I'm running, it's largely out of a sense of duty. I was I'm an Air Force Academy grad, and I was a pilot in the Air Force for a long time. I was a pilot largely at Navy bases, and so you get to sort of see duty firsthand. And when I moved to Sandpoint, I have such affinity for our local hospital here. They saved a couple of our family members' lives. All my kids were born there. And when they reached out to say, hey, would you like to be on the foundation board? I've been on the foundation board because I felt like there was a duty to do that. So I've been on that board for 5 years. And when I was asked to run for this, again, it felt like a duty in that this town has given me so very much. And I generally work very well in a deliberative body like council. And quite frankly, it's where I shine. And if you ask folks who know me and work with me, they know I've got a ton of optimism. Not into whining. I'm not into grievances. I'm into a lot of energy and living up to the dreams that I think are possible. So please, I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Well, I'm a longtime local. My son is third generation, born at BGH. I know a lot of the longtime families. I remember a lot of the things that are now gone. Our touchstones are important to us. We need to preserve them, and we need to come together as a community. And I feel like I can be that bridge that brings us all together. So thank you. If you feel like it, vote for me. I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Scott stole my line. I am not a politician either. nor do I feel like I would ever become one. What you see is what you get. This is who I am. There's no hidden agenda. I really care for this community. I care for what Sandpoint stands for. And I care for everybody's thoughts and their thought processes and how things work. I became involved with Parks and Rec Commission until that became dissolved. So I've gone from within 1 year of living here really involved with the city because I do care. This is where I'm going to die. This is it for me. So, you know, I went into Parks and Rec. That dissolved. Then I went into what else can I do? I go to council meetings. I have been since day one. I jumped into planning and zoning. And with Grant, I too was asked to join the Bonner General Health Foundation as the race director for fundraising for a very important piece of equipment, and I've gladly stepped up and have done that for 2 years now. So I've done what's been asked of me time and time again. Thank you, Amelia Boyd for Sandpoint City Council.
Okay, forums are not my comfort zone. I'm good at writing. I don't mind answering questionnaires. I have had more fun in the past 3 weeks walking around town, peddling myself is what I call it. I have met more enjoyable, delightful people. I have listened to their issues, their concerns, things they would like to see happen, their dreams. It has just been so much fun for me. I will do that even if I'm not on the council, because I will still go to council meetings and share on issues that I find important that people are wanting to share on. That's probably my biggest thing. Let me see, I know there's more. Oh, if you want some diversity on the council, I would probably be a good bet for you. I do have a Facebook page, my very first in my whole life, and it's not very much fun. Pam Duquette for Sandpoint City Council. And I have a Gmail, Pam Duquette, number4sdpt@gmail.com.
So I would just like to make some clarifications. As far as our sewage treatment plant, that has been an ongoing plan for over 4 years, so we have not sat on our laurels with that. It's moving forward. We're going to have some actual work starting in the spring on that. We also, over the past few years, did an entire data study on all of our streets in Sandpoint, and we also, with all of your help, passed some more taxing issues. We went from about $250,000 to $1 million to put into our streets. And the other thing that I have done and why I ran last term was to protect our watershed forever, is the way I like to put it. Make sure that we decommission a lot of trails that are in there, old skid trails, causing water and pollution problems. And we have a lot of people in this town that like trails, so keeping them all in one place so they don't cause problems. And November 7th, I hope you can see that I've helped you out so far and you appreciate me. And Deb Rule, don't forget to vote.
I'd like to give these guys all a big round of applause. Excellent job staying on time. Very, very good job. Thank you very much. And now we'll invite up the candidates for Sandpoint Mayor. So if I could get Jeremy Grimm, Kate McAllister, and Fritz Moore to join us here. Thank you. You guys did a great job. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, if I could. All right. So now we will hear from the candidates for Sandpoint Mayor. First, we'll have 1 minute. If you would please introduce yourself and just pass the microphone down to your left. We'll start with Jeremy Grimm.
Thanks so much, Jeremy Grimm, for those in Radio Land. Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for the B for putting this together. I am not a politician. I have never run for office, and I probably won't if I don't win this. Stand up and speak up, I'm sure. I'm running because I have two kids who I hope can have a future in this community. I'm very concerned about where we're headed. frankly, I think the city's off the tracks. I think the city needs to focus on the law, focus on the residents, and focus on changing our economy from a tourist-based economy. We've got $120 million worth of public works to do in the next few years. We do not have a comprehensive plan that guides our future that you all should be part of participating in. And I'm a little frustrated that we have all these utility parks and other plans that seem to cement us in stone where our growth is going to go, where our water pipes are going to go, yet the city hasn't even asked what you want the vision of this town through the comprehensive plan. My time's almost up. The one thing I promise you is I will work like hell to get rid of the city administrator position and go back to department heads the way the city has run for so long.
Thank you. I'm Kate McAllister. I have lived here for 30 years and worked beside most of you for all of those 30 years in making our community a great community. I have also ran the Chamber of Commerce for the past 13 years working with businesses. In fact, the businesses were the ones who came to me to ask me to run for mayor. A lot of the businesses did, and a lot of the organizations that I work with. I really care about this community, and I want it to succeed. I think that we can do a much better job with community engagement. I believe we should bring back the citizen committees. I've thought that for a long time. And I believe we can really step up we need to have more robust community engagement. And if Traverse Park has taught us nothing, that's exactly what it's taught us.
I'm Fritz Moore. I'm running for mayor because I was asked to, not because I have a burning desire to lead everybody into the abyss. As we can all see, there are many problems going on with our city. We need somebody who loves this town and who is not embroiled in conflicts of interest. I have no conflicts of interest. I'm not a city planner. I'm not involved with all the businesses. I'm just a regular Joe like the rest of you, trying to lead my life, raise my children, put them through school, all the little nuances of life. That's what I'm doing. You want my history? Yes, I did come out of Hollywood. I've worked on multi-million dollar projects. I've also run small businesses in Seattle. I was born and raised in Arizona, Phoenix to be specific, 25 years. I'm just a basic guy, you guys, and I'm not really looking for self-aggrandizement. What I am looking to do is be a mayor of the people, somebody who's actually going to represent you and your interests. That's my only conflict of interest.
All right, our first question. What are your thoughts on the city administrator position? What changes, if any, would you make and why?
All right, so first of all, I understand that people seem to have an issue with the city administrator. And as your mayor, if you bring the information to me, I will bring it before city council because it's an appointed position, and it's actually city council who will make the decision about whether or not to let the city administrator go. There are four appointed positions. On the other side of it is that it's a great operations manager position. I think the mayor's only part-time, and so with the city administrator position, not the particular person, but the position itself, it makes sure that those plans are done and that we prioritize things and things don't get deferred, and then we end up just exactly where we are right now with problems with infrastructure. So, however, again, if the citizens do not want the position, then I recommend that we make the mayor full-time, because right now mayor is part-time, and it's $25,000 a year. So if you want somebody who's really going to keep those operations going, and making sure that the plans that we made, which, by the way, are 20-year plans, so we don't need to make more plans. Anyway, thank you.
I think what we're seeing is an unprecedented urgency to push things through a bloated bureaucracy. They've almost tripled the budget for the administration in the last 2 years, if you look at the budget. Okay, so what's happening is you've got a well-oiled, greased machine that's being paid well to push through an agenda. As that agenda comes through, the city council has very limited time to address those issues, to do any real research on them before they're being forced to vote. And if you look at the record of the city council, it's more like a rubber stamp. No offense to my friends, but there is more like a rubber stamp than it is actually addressing the certain issues. I personally believe that the city administrator is not necessary. I'm in agreement with Mr. Grimm in regards to bringing back those department heads and giving those departments some autonomy and possibly reducing the bloated budget and using that for other means.
Jeremy Grimm for those in Radio Land. So the city administrator position was a trial. About 8 years we're into this. I worked for the city for almost 8 years, a little over 8 years, under the department head form of government. Under that form of government, each department head ran their budget, presented their budget, debated their budget before the city council. The council had very robust discussions about policies, about plans, about other things. And what you see today is a summary report from the city administrator going to the council with a recommended action. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of in-depth discussion about those actions. So I think we need to go back to the department head form of government. As a part-time mayor, I think a mayor's assistant is appropriate. Right now, there are two executive assistants in central services. I don't know exactly what they do, but I believe they serve the city administrator. I think we could go with one of those, and as mayor, I'm going to commit to at least 30 hours a week to this town to make sure all these projects move forward as directed by the people.
Excellent. All right, our next question. What experience do you feel is most critical for a mayor to have, and why?
I think a mayor is the heartbeat of the city. So a mayor has to be able to deal with a multitude of personalities. Can you actually hold everybody in the same standard, regardless of what side they're on, what color they profess to support, whether or not they're a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or a psycho or whatever the hell it is that everybody gleans onto? Can you actually engage with the community in a meaningful way and accept where everyone is at and entertain their ideas? Most, you will find, believe they know best. Why? Because they have the experience. I have this. I have that. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is giving this city a just result, a just result. And the only way that will happen is engaging in a powerful conversation and be willing to hear the other side, whether you agree or not. That's the only way we'll find common ground.
Jeremy Grimm, Radio Land. So the most important quality, I believe, or skill, is that right? The most important quality and skill in my mind is understanding how a city works. There's finance, there's infrastructure, there's communication, there's public involvement. You look at any planning degree, these are the basics of the courses that you take. I want to say first and foremost, as my skill set, I work in infrastructure every day. I know how to read a bridge maintenance report. I know when a bridge says it's failing or when it's sufficient. I know what a riser is. I know what a hot tap is. I know what a mechanical plant is and the advantages of a mechanical plant over a filtration and a digester plant. I work in easements, development agreements, construction, bonding every day. This is what I do for a job, and I'm offering my skills and services to the city of Sandpoint. Beyond that, I want to say, the one thing they teach you in planning school, if you don't want public comment, hold an open house, because that way no one can speak in grandstand. You can put a stamp on. What we need are charrettes, where the community gets together and actually works together.
I think the most important skill is also, I agree with Mr. Grimm, about knowing how the city works and how the city gets things done. I also think an important skill is to be a convener, is to make sure that you can handle the conflict and bring people together and talk about conflict and listen to what they have to say. I think that's extremely important. I plan on having community conversations, topic specific, on Saturday mornings or whenever the citizens are most likely to get together. I don't think that a Thursday morning at 10 a.m. is a good time to get everybody together, because I don't think most people can get off of work to do that. So I think a Saturday morning and to really be able to talk to people wherever they are. I also think it's a privilege to run for a nonpartisan position, because I agree with my friend Fritz is that everybody should be treated the same. There should be no ideology. Everybody should be treated the same, and they should be treated fairly within the city. Thank you.
All right. Final question before you give your closing statements. The final question is, how would you ensure that decisions made by the city include all sides so that everyone feels heard?
Thanks, Jeremy Grimm, Radioland. Sorry I keep saying that for you folks here. It's really simple. Idaho Code requires a city to have a comprehensive plan. It's the only plan required by Idaho Code. A comprehensive plan is exactly what it sounds like. It is a plan devised and supported by the people to guide the future. I don't care who sits in the mayor's seat, who's the planner, who's the city administrator. Their job is to implement the plan of the people. So if I'm your mayor, I will make those decisions based on the comprehensive plan. And it's very important to always be able to pause, stop, look back, make sure you've got it right. If there's ever a problem, as one of the council members said, when you're working on engineering, you stop, you pause, you assess, you make sure you're making the right decision. And my ego and my morals would not put that in front of the good of the people. So thank you.
I think that Councilman Welker the other night said it best when he said we did table the comprehensive plan so that we can have more workshops, so that we can have more input, because people, we need to hear from you. And I know planning and zoning, I've talked to a number of the planning and zoning members, and it's sometimes difficult to make sure that we have all that information. And it is our town. It is absolutely our town, and it is imperative that all of you participate in the comprehensive plan, because it is a 20-year plan that will guide us down the road to make infrastructure information that will help us understand how we want our town to feel and how we want our town to look. And so we really have decided, especially now, that the council would like to hear more from people. So we're trying to devise a way where we can have more open town halls, where we can have community conversation, and when we can have your input, because it is really important.
Well, if you're going to make this specific to the mayor, I would say that the mayor needs to be available to communicate with. Now, if anybody has seen me walking the streets, which I'm sure you have, walking my dog, riding my bike, playing with my boys, I'm always around, and I'm very approachable. The conversation needs to be had. If you want to be heard, approach me. But my idea is also to go to you, to go to the places where you are with the plans that we have, because we keep hearing, you need to come to us, you need to come to us. People are working. People are hurting and wondering how they're going to make their bills, how they're going to pay their rent, how they're going to keep their restaurants open, how they're going to pay their employees. They're very concerned about things, and the last thing on their mind is showing up at a workshop. So it's my job to get out to you to keep that conversation alive. It's our city council members' job to get out to you to keep that conversation alive. That's the only way we're going to be able to address these issues, and particularly this question of keeping everybody involved.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. It's time for closing statements. And Kate McAllister, we will begin with you.
Thank you very much. I just want to say that I'm very proud of the work that I've done on City Council. I'm proud of the work that I've worked in this city for 30 years, again, working beside most of you. You know that I'm somebody that brings people together. You know that I'm somebody that solves problems. You know that I'm somebody that gets involved. And I think that I really would like to have your vote for mayor. I'm willing to do the work. I will be no longer working at the chamber should you decide to make me your mayor, because I want to make sure that all my time will be going to the citizens of Sandpoint. I would appreciate your vote. I will work hard for you, just as I have worked hard for all of these years. Thank you.
I'm Fritz Moore. I'm not a member of the machine, never have been, and I don't really have a super desire to be a part of the machine. So what I can promise you is again, that I will be available to you to build on the conversation. This is not rocket science, you guys. It's not rocket science. It's prudent thinking. It's intelligent thinking and making a wise decision. It's fiscal responsibility, not wasting our time and money on plans to turn Sandpoint into Disneyland, okay? We have much more important things to focus on, so we need to whittle down where the issues are, look at the fiscal issue that we're in is in regards to the budget that has increased by millions of dollars in the last few years. Where's all that money coming from? Where is it going? And where can we trim it out to refocus those resources back on you so that your businesses prosper, so that your children have the ability to have a life and a home in this town just like you, because that's all going away. The time for change is now, and you have the opportunity to create it. Fritz Moore for mayor.
Thank you all for coming out tonight, being engaged, Jeremy Grimm. This is important. We're in a bit of a hole as a city. There's a huge backlog of public infrastructure needing to be addressed. By my estimate, over $120 million worth of water, sewer, roads, etc. And despite those plans and that awareness being on the table, our leadership has spent their time pursuing fantastical plans about things that who knows how we would pay for. Life in Sandpoint, with me as mayor, might be a little boring. I'm going to focus on our sewer plant so it's not pouring waste raw sewer into our river and our lake. I'm going to focus on our water system. I'm going to focus on our streets, and I'm going to focus on our sidewalks, and I'm going to do all that by following the comprehensive plan that I will demand that gets put on hold until the citizens can implement it and let the city leaders know what you want from this community. That's the most important thing you can do right now after November 7th is get engaged with the comprehensive plan. That is our guiding document. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for mayor. I'd love your vote. Get in touch with me anytime.
I'd like to thank our candidates for mayor. First of all, let me get a big round of applause for all the candidates. Something very important to realize, it takes courage to run. It takes more courage to serve. Thank you again for your attendance tonight. You can catch the recording, I believe, tomorrow. Carolyn will make that available to you, www.bonnercountyb.com. Everyone, thank you very much. Have a good night. Drive safely. Thank you for your engagement.